brother in law anyway. No, not yet. Oh, oh right, right, okay, well. That's okay, well, Chris, what do we do? Who would haunt number two? Just, huh? Sing another song? That's okay. Well, maybe that's the best way to just sing it. We're gonna have a prayer meeting. It's gone. Anyway, well, let's sing. I was going to sing that hymn earlier. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God, only by his stripes are we healed. Somebody to preach, just announce it on the day. That will put them to the test. Praise God, but come on ahead, brother. Lord bless.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one.
I'm sorry about that, brother Laurie. Maybe Laurie didn't catch me right, but it doesn't matter. It's not important. I'm not going to belong tonight. It's dangerous when I get up with no notes. It's near worse. You know that. But I just want to read some scriptures I've been thinking about, and I haven't read them today or anything, but I just have been thinking about them. And I want to read them to you from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and once we find it, maybe we could have a word of prayer again, praise God. And I'm not going to ask you to stand because I want to read most of this chapter this evening from 1 Corinthians 15. Let's just bow our heads this evening again, praise God. And Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight that we can draw into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you for the greatest provision that this world's ever seen. It was the provision of your wrapped gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this time of the year, Lord, for the different presents and the blessings many of us has received. We give you all the praise and all the glory. But the greatest blessing was your life given that we could have eternal life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for eternal life and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Him that hath the Son hath life, and the wrath of God shall not abide upon him. We thank you for that life tonight that is unending. We thank you for that life tonight. It's eternal life. And we thank you for your blessings this evening. Father, we would pray for an uplifting of the Holy Spirit in her presence and in her life. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of men and women that we've heard been saved over these last few days. We give you the praise and all the glory. Lord, as our brother said, strengthen her sister Jenny. Grant her the grace she needs and the comfort of the Holy Spirit to keep on keeping on. Bless the children. May this be a time of reflection when they will think upon the things of God and get right with God, we pray. Oh God, stir all of our hearts tonight, I pray. May it be a time of reflection for every one of us that will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive more of thee. We thank you, Lord, tonight there's more. We thank you, Lord, if we're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, you promised we shall be filled. Lord, I pray for a fresh hunger and a fresh thirst to come on every single one of us in the name of the Lord. I pray for this year, for the meetings that you'll move in a mighty way, that you'll revive your work in the midst of the years. I pray that many will be the slain of the Lord. I pray for the spirit of revival to break upon your people, for the spirit of intercessory to come upon them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, that you would fill us afresh, everyone, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Rid us from our own ways and our own ideas, and give us your ways and your ideas. Lord, we cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination, and we acknowledge you in all our ways and know you will direct our paths. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you for the Holy Ghost and for the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Help us to glorify Jesus. Help us to lift you, Lord. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Father, for the backslidden tonight, shake them and move them and bring them to your own self. I think of my own brothers, Aaron and David, that's not yet saved or backslidden. Lord, I pray you'll take a moving on them, man. God, I pray you'll strive with them. Take the sleep from them, but bring the spirit of mighty conviction upon them, I pray. It's time that we're saved, Lord. Move upon them mightily, I pray. Lord, for aunts and uncles, representatives, and children in this house, move on every one of them and save them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. I bless your word, for it is blessed. Help us with your word and touch your people in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to read a few scriptures and then we're going to pray. And I might say a few things and I might not. I don't know what lot. But just whatever the Lord wants. Amen. Praise God. But let's read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, But some are falling asleep. Now that's went on to be with the Lord when he says, falling asleep, praise God, or into that place. We know before Christ rose from the dead, or Brother John mentioned it so well in the last service, that there was a realm, a place for the were, and they couldn't come out of it till Christ rose. But when Christ rose from the dead, Abraham's bosom was empty, and the saints rose, and they went to be with the Lord, praise God. And I tell you, it's so important that we believe in the resurrection of Christ, because if we don't preach and believe in the resurrection of Christ, we ourselves can't believe in one for our own selves. But this scripture is showing us that Christ died for our sins and rose again for our resurrection as well as his. That's the first fruits. That's what Paul calls it. Christ is the first fruits. He's the one that made the way. He's the one that went into the glory from the grave. And no man took his life from him, but he gave it freely. Thank God he gave it freely. It was wonderful the way Brother John Weir brought the message at the funeral. Because he said there was a time when Rock was away from Christ. Then there was a time when he was in Christ. Then there was a time now when he's with Christ. And thank God for that. You never can be with Christ if you've never been in Christ. But once you're in Christ, when you leave this scene of time, you're going to be with Christ. Because Paul the Apostle says, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And thank God, now there's levels as well in heaven. Now I haven't got time tonight and haven't studied it or anything, but I know there's levels in heaven, and there's a foolish virgin, there's a wise virgin, and it's just like levels. There's levels with God, and there's going to be a prize given. There's an award ceremony coming. Did you know that? An award ceremony coming in heaven, where God's going to be giving out prizes, as it were. And there's stars for the crown. How many believe that tonight? Stars for the crown. And that's why it's so important that we win men and women to the Lord. Now, everybody's not going to win the same amount of people, because that's God's choosing. It's God's choosing. But you know the sad thing, and I'm going to tell you tonight the sad thing. There's people rang me after the funeral, and they were close to getting saved. A relation of my own was so close to getting saved. They were going to come and see me, and I told them to come. And I said, I'll come to you tonight if you want. But they didn't want that. But they were close. But between the funeral and now, they've done nothing about it. And you see, what happens is, when the good seed's sown, there's somebody else sows. And there's somebody else sows when we're all sleeping. And we go to bed and we sleep, but the devil never sleeps. But thank God for predestination. All that the Father has given to me will come to me. So we don't know who's going to come, but it's our job to sow the seed, and God will do the rest with it. But many times people are close to getting saved and they put it off, and that's a dangerous thing, you know. God can stop talking to somebody for the last time. I believe that. The old preachers used to talk a lot about that. Modern preachers don't preach a lot of things the old boys used to preach, but the old boys was better in my opinion. Even the books. Modern books, Christian books, I wouldn't even read hardly any of them at all. But the old stuff, it's all about the Lord. It's all about Christ. And you know, Ian Paisley and William Mullen and a lot of them men and W.P. Nicholson talked about the unpardonable sin. And they said a man can grieve the Holy Spirit or resist the Spirit's moving for the last time. And God will never speak to them again. And I believe that can happen. And I believe there's conditions. It's like a prophecy. Yeah. People could say the prophecy didn't come to pass. But there's conditions. If God gives a condition, we must meet that condition. If God gives a condition. Yeah. And I know that God gave me a condition many years ago when I was in jail. The Lord definitely gave me a condition. And I had to meet that condition. And God showed me personally from Scripture that if I didn't come his way, it was taking me. And I believe I wouldn't have been here. I'm convinced of it, that I wouldn't be here if I hadn't come to the Lord. And I thank God for his mercy. It's only his mercy that brings you in them times. That's all it is. And many a time, some of us wouldn't have been here, only the Lord spurred us. Isn't that right? God spurred us, and it's all God's grace. Verse 6, after he was seen above 500, verse 7, after that he was seen of James,
then of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of season. That's just Paul the apostle. This is one of the great stumbling blocks for, you know, them wee groups that believe Jesus has changed. And they tell you the apostolic message is finished and the apostolic age is over, and they're so dogmatic on it. Now, we're not here to argue with nobody, as their brother mentioned last the other week, but a fellow said to me one time, it ceased with the 12 apostles. And I says, and there you are, is that right? And I says, now, do you want to change your statement? Because I says, it's a very weak one. And I says, what do you do with Paul then? Because Paul wasn't one of the 12. And my Bible says Paul had a greater ministry. And special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. And here we're reading about Paul here, after that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of season. And Paul seen the Lord, and he seen him in the pillar of fire. And not only did Paul see him, but God sent him with a message. And we believe that he was the first messenger of the first church age. Not right, Paul the apostle. And Paul had a message. And Paul's message is still relevant. That's the thing about Paul's message. And it's still real. Praise God. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And this, his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Why did he do it more than them all? Because he knew where he come from. And I've seen that life's experience, and I've seen it too when you talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A man that knows he can't do it himself depends on God, and God will use that man. But sometimes if you get somebody that thinks they can do it, they'll never have that punch with them. Because they are doing it. They're too smart for their own good. But Paul here knew what he come from. He knew he was the chief of sinners. A big sinner. Persecuted the church. And he was glad the Lord saved him. And he worked hard for the Lord. And even the trials he had, many's a fellow would have packed it in. And like a brother said the other week, the old devil wants you to pack it in. He wants you to say it from your mouth, I'm quitting. That's what the devil wants. But the Lord's made you to be an overcomer. Amen. And the overcomers don't go backwards. They go forwards and upwards. Amen. Because the Lord's with them. Praise God. Therefore, whether I be, whether it were I or not, so we preach and so ye believe. The importance of Christ's resurrection. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that Christ, that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain, you're yet in your sins. So he's saying, if Christ not risen, we're still in our sins. But thank God he is risen. Amen. And verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of most men miserable. But he's given us the message here that there's life beyond the death. And there's hope beyond the death. Praise God. The order of the resurrection, here it is. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And because the first fruits of them that slept, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that did put them under him, that God may be all in all. Moral implication of Christ's resurrection. This is what these next verses are. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest for your rejoicing when I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus and advantageous at me, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some people, you see, they're saved, but there's no rush on the Lord coming and they live like the devil. But Paul's telling us we're not to do that. And Paul goes further with it. Paul lists things that he could do, but he refuses to do. And he refuses to do them because he's God's servant and he's living for the Lord. Me and Mark could leave here tonight and go and get drunk because nobody could stop us. If we wanted to do it, we could leave here tonight, get a bottle of vodka and get ourselves full. But there's no point in doing that because we'd ruin our testimonies and get ourselves into a whole ball of trouble, I'll guarantee you that. So there's no notion of doing that. We have no interest in doing that because we're living for the Lord. And there's some people, you see, they think because they're living in the day of grace, they can do whatever they want. But I'll tell you, there's a price to pay for everything you do. And Paul says we crucify our flesh daily for the Lord. There's a commitment with a Christian every day. A commitment to come to the prayer meeting. A commitment to come to the communion service. A commitment to come to the gospel service. A commitment when we're out and about to tell people Jesus saves. There's a commitment. Thank God for people that's committed. And I believe you, everyone here is committed. I believe that tonight. Praise God. Thank God for the commitment. Look at these bodies now, the resurrection. Praise God. Verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. So you see, when you're born again, you're quickened. There is a part of you that's not dead and can't die. There's a part of you that will die if the Lord doesn't take you in the rapture. There's a part of you that will go to the grave. That's the old coat, the casket that we're in tonight. But there's a part of you that can't die. Isn't that wonderful? Paul says, I'm showing you a mystery when he tells you these things. You see, there's three parts to the man. Body, soul, and spirit. Three parts. And I tell you, your soul's made in the image of God. That the Bible tells us that. Man's made in the image of God. Does the Bible say every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord? It's not God's will that any should perish. Praise God. Verse 37. Not what thou sowest not the body that shall be, but the bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is some kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. We come into this world sinners. But those of us that are saved are going out saved and quickened by the Spirit of God, because we're born again. Born again, we've had a second birth. born again. And the Bible says it of an incorruptible seed which liveth in the vineyard forever. There's a seed in you already that's incorruptible. And that's because you believed in Christ. And there's a part of you that can't die. And even the bit that goes down and goes to dust, it's going to be resurrected too. And even if it's in a casket and your soul goes on to be with the Lord, and when the rapture takes place, the 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the dead in Christ will rise first. Them bodies are coming out of them graves. Somebody says, how's it going to happen? I can't believe it. Well, how did Adam come out of the dust of the ground? Can you believe that? God made him from dust. And you know the Bible talks about bodies that could be out in the ocean and the Lord will resurrect them. And I think our brother John mentioned it some years ago, if somebody could be under 100 feet of concrete and they're going to come out of it. Now, me and you can't explain that, but God's going to do it. And I don't know if the concrete will move back or God will just bring them through it. Either way, it'll not matter. God will do it. If you see, how could a man walk through a burning fiery furnace and come out the other side in flesh? But the Bible says three men done it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were in flesh. They were in a body like you and mine when they done it. Now you can't explain that. That's a supernatural act of God. That's the thing about God. He can do supernatural things because he's God. And he's going to change our bodies. So also the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now you think of this this evening, think of it, and all of us do it. How much attention do we put to the natural body? And how much attention do we put to the spiritual side of things? And people are so concerned about the natural, but they don't do much about the spiritual. But yet it is a spiritual side that's most important. No matter what we do to this natural body, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come in our lifetime, this will go to the casket. This natural body. Now we know it'll be resurrected, but it's the inner man that's going to go with we with the Lord. And it's the Spirit of God we need. There's not enough emphasis in the Holy Ghost preaching, you know. I believe that. That's the honest truth of it. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever. We need the power of God. I'm telling you, I believe that tonight. Verse 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward that which is spiritual. The first man was of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven, heavenly. As in the earthly, such are they that are earthly. And as in the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So your body can identify with the first Adam, is that right? But your body can also identify with the second Adam, once you're born again. And as the second Adam came from heaven, he came from heaven. The Bible says that. How many believe that? He was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. He says, I come from God and I go back to God. And he said, before Abraham was, or Moses, I am. He said, you're not yet 50 and you're before Moses. In other words, how can you be? Because the Bible says all things are made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that's made. Praise God, they consist by him. The world's maintained because of the Lord. That's what that means. God maintains this whole thing. And when he decides it's over, that's in his hands. No man can do a thing about it. Not even Mount Putin, a stinker. And he is a stinker. And I have no time for him. I know people say he's bringing about this and he's bringing about that. He's sending people into eternity. He's a murderer. In my book, he's no better than Hitler, Putin. And you know, if it's only God's grace that he wouldn't have had all the people over there wiped out, but it didn't happen the way he planned, because of God. And people praying, that's the truth. He would have wiped them out if he could. And you know that a prophet of God said that a Russian president will press the bomb. Press the bomb to blow up the whole thing. That's what he said. A vodka drinking boy. Vodka. They're big for the vodka, aren't they? You know the best news I had for vodka put it down the sink. Or out over a hedge somewhere. I've no time for that, I'll be honest with you. Do it for rubbing down an animal or something with us about it. It's not for drinking, it's pure dirt. Lift the linen out of your guts and everything. It's pure dirt. But you see the bottles of it sold over this time of the year and because of Christmas. They know nothing about Christmas. It's only an excuse for the devil and his buttermilk. That's all Christmas is for, the money. That's the truth. It's a drinking session. The Lord's not mentioned in a lot of places. But we need to lift him up. Blow about him. Crow about him. He's worth talking about, isn't he? Praise God. And as we have borne the image, verse 49, image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Bodies of the translated living. Listen to this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. There's a change coming. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, a lot of people take this scripture and they put their slant on it and they take it out of its context. Now, what do I mean when I say you're gone in a moment? How many's ever heard you're gone in the twinkling of an eye? But this is not saying that, it's saying you're changed. You know, the rapture could take place over 40 days. God's going to collect his people. And I don't believe preaching that people's preached for years that if there's a man flying a plane and he's saved and the other boy's not saved and the plane will crash and the car. I don't believe any of that. Do you know why? The Bible said God is not the author of confusion. And that there's confusion. That won't happen. I don't believe that'll happen. I know Brother John mentioned that in his testimony and I believe it. We're going to see something and it's going to draw our attention. The Lord's coming for us. And the angels of the Lord. And the Lord's going to take you. You're going to be changed in a moment. And then when everybody's collected together, we're going. And I tell you, God's taking us. We're not going of our own accord. He's taking us. Enoch was took. It wasn't Enoch decided when he would go. He was took. And you're going to be took. And I'll tell you, when the Lord comes to take you, you'll not be saying, well, if this or that to do, that'll be it. You'll be took. Praise God. Look at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Praise God. And I'm closing. I'm going to pray and sit down in a moment. The Lord's coming. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And the coming of the Lord's a secret. Now I know a lot of people say, I know when the Lord's coming. Well, you know that boy tells you that he's glad. No man knows. Only the Father. Not even the Son. That's the Bible says. Only the Father knows when he's coming. But he knows when he's coming. He's not going to be late or early or any of them things what we think in our minds. He's come at his time, the right time. And we need to be ready for that coming. And let's be honest tonight. We want to see our family saved. We need to claim them under the blood. Praise God. Let's come and pray tonight. Praise God. And it's just gone almost 20 past. And let's come and pray. And we're going to seek the Lord this evening. And